Thanks for the feedback. The Science and Art of Receiving Feedback Well. Authors Douglas Stone and Sheila Heen. There is a profound change of being on the receiving end of feedback. Good or bad, right or wrong, flippant and caring or callous. Our primary purpose here is to take an honest look at why receiving feedback is hard and how to provide a framework and some tools that can help you metabolize challenging, even crazy-making information and use it to fuel insight and growth. Three triggers that block feedback. Most of us do fine with positive feedback. Then there's the tougher stuff, the feedback that leaves us confused or enraged, flustered or flattened. This kind of feedback triggers us. Our heart pounds, our stomach clenches, and our thoughts race and scatter. There are three feedback triggers: truth triggers, relationship triggers, and identity triggers. Each is set off for different reasons, and each provokes a different set of reactions and responses from us. Truth triggers, the challenging to see. They are set off by the substance of the feedback itself. There are a lot of good reasons not to take feedback, and at the front of the line stands this one: it's wrong. The advice is bad. The evaluation is unjust. Perception is just someone of us is outdated or incomplete. We reject, defend, or counterattack. All too often, feedback that is offered as coaching is heard as evaluation, and efforts to elicit coaching from mentors yield feedback that is laced with evaluation, producing defensiveness and frustration rather than learning. Beat the truth trigger. See your blind spots. A blind spot is something that we don't see about ourselves that others do see. Your facial expressions, your tone of voice, and your patterns are blind spots. They convey a surprising amount of information to others, but not to you. We know that we are upset by wrong feedback and assume that others are giving it to us intentionally, which means they must have an agenda or that something is seriously wrong with them. Here's what to do. Use your reaction as a blind spot alert. When you notice yourself wondering, what's their agenda, what's wrong with them? Make sure your next thought is, I wonder if this feedback is sitting in my blind spot. Ask, how do I get in my own way? To find out, we have to get specific. Ask, what do you see me doing or failing to do that is getting in my own way? Look for patterns. Look for consistent feedback, consistent in two ways. First, consider to what extent you're describing the same behaviour, but interpreting indifferently, or you may be unaware of your impacts. Second, ask yourself, is this the first time you've gotten such feedback, or have you heard similar things from other people over the years? Patterns offer usual clues about blind spots. Get a second opinion. If important feedback doesn't resonate, take a whole set of questions to a friend. Lay out the problem explicitly. I wonder if this feedback is a blind spot. Do you see me doing this sometimes? And if so, when? What impact do you see it having? You have to let your friend know that you want honesty. Relationship triggers. The challenge of we. Our perception of feedback is inevitably influenced by who is giving it to us. We can be triggered by something about the giver, their credibility, trustworthiness, or motives. We can likewise be triggered about how we feel by that person. The relationship system. A system is a set of interacting or interdependent components that forms a complex whole. Each part of the system influences other parts in the system, changing one thing that has a ripple effect elsewhere. When something goes wrong in a system, we each see some things that others doesn't, and these observations are not randomly distributed between us. We each see, genuinely, what the other is contributing to the trouble, and we each believe that we shouldn't be taking all the heat for the problem. That's system's insight number two. Each of us sees only part of the problem, the part the other person is contributing. System's insight number one is this. Each of us is part of the problem. Maybe not to the same extent, but we're both involved. Each are affecting each other. It takes two of you being the way you are to create the problem, and that's how the system works. Identify triggers, the challenge of me. Identity is the story we tell ourselves about who we are and what the future holds for us. And when critical feedback is incoming, that story is under attack. Feedback can be threatening because it prompts questions about the most challenging relationship you have, your relationship with yourself. Are you a good person? Do you deserve your own respect? Can you live with yourself? Forgive yourself? Cultivate a growth identity. Our ability to metabolize challenging feedback is driven by the particular way we tell our identity story. Some people tell their identity story in ways that cause their identity to be brittle, while others tell their identity story in ways that allow it to be robust. These in the latter group are predisposed to treat feedback not as a threat to who they are, but as a core aspect of who they are. Growth identity practices. 1. Sought toward coaching. Try this exercise. Think of the feedback you've received in the past several months, big or small. First, assume that that feedback was intended as an evaluation. What would the feedback say about you? Now imagine that the feedback was intended as coaching, something you might learn from. If you run through this sorting exercise a few times, you'll notice three things. First, you'll see that with some effort, you can hear most feedback either way. Second, if you're successful in hearing it as coaching, you'll notice that your identity reaction is diminished or gone. And third, you'll start to notice patterns, your own tendencies. 2. Separate judgment from evaluation. Some feedback, of course, is straight evaluation, and it's that that challenges our identity most. As we figure out how to hear evaluation, it's helpful to break evaluation itself down into three consistent parts: assessment, consequences, and judgment. By looking at the components of evaluation this way, you can figure out about what given evaluation is triggering your identity. Breaking it down also helps you focus on what you want to discuss with the feedback giver. Are you in agreement with the assessment but do not want the judgment? Are your consequences clear and fair? Why does your coach have a different judgment about your time, and what can you learn from that? 3. Give yourself a second score. Let's imagine you get a negative evaluation. The assessment seems fair, but the consequences are painful. You get rejected. Now what? Whatever else you do to cope, imagine that there is an invisible second evaluation. After every low score you receive, after each failure and faltering step, give yourself a second score. Based on how you handle the first score, in every situation in life, there is the situation itself, and then there's how you handle it. To receivers, regardless of context or the company you keep, you are the most important person in your own learning. Your organization or team or boss might support stifled feedback. Either way, they can't stop you from learning. You don't have to depend on your annual review or your boss's willingness to mentor. You can watch, ask questions, and solicit suggestions from co-workers, customers, partners, and friends. You don't have to wait around for someone to train you to sell more shoes. Observe whoever sells the most and try to figure out what they're doing differently, and ask them to watch you. Whatever they suggest, try it on. Experiment with the advice, and if the shoe fits, wear it.